If you want a title for this sermon, it's going to be Jesus, Pilate, Barabbas. Those three names. What did the Jews have on Pilate? What, they must have had something on him that they could get him to release a man who was a murderer, an insurrectionist. So what was Pilate's job? He didn't live in Jerusalem. He only came to Jerusalem during the feast, and he did come to Jerusalem during the Passovers because he knew Passovers was an exciting time. The Jews begin to think of leaving Egypt and so on, and they may want to try to overthrow the government there. So he would bring in 1,500 troops with him to Jerusalem to make sure we're calming everything down. Rome did not like disturbances, and it was Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. They wanted peace. They didn't want anybody. Now, so he didn't want the Jews to have uprising. He didn't like that. He got in trouble with the Jews a number of times. You know, he did something. And in one case, here's what Jesus said about him in chapter 13 of Luke and verse 1. So Pilate was not a man that just gave in easily. He ruled. He brought down the hammer on people. He says in Luke 13, verse 1, "Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to Jesus," to him, meaning Jesus, "about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices." So some of the people in Galilee, I guess they were offshoots. They were not at the temple, but maybe they came down to Jerusalem to make that. We don't know the details. It just says Pilate said, "Oh, you want a sacrifice? Let's have your sacrifice." And here they were killed under Pontius Pilate. His name was Pontius, P-O-N-T-I-U-S, or Pontius. So you can say Pontius Pilate, P-I-L-A-T-E. And he was had the governorship of Judea starting in around 27-28 AD and all the way through the time of Jesus' crucifixion, and even after that, you know, when people started getting wild around 70 AD. You could say he had different views depending on who you were. Now, Philo, which he was a Jewish philosopher, Philo, he lived out in Alexandria, Egypt. He lived around that same time during Pilate's reign. And Philo thought Pilate was the most dirtiest, rotten person. He thought he was a scoundrel of the first order. Okay, he just thought he was no good at all. And then you have the other person looking at him was Josephus. Josephus was, of course, a historian, but he was now trying to appease the Roman government and write up the history of it and the history of the Jews. And he wrote up a very famous history called Antiquities of the Jews. Now, we have fewer original copies of that than we have of the Gospels by far. But Pilate's governorship started around 26-27 AD. He was governor of the infantry cohorts. They have different names for their infantry. There are so many people in a cohort, and a cavalry regiment. So he had a regiment under the command, perhaps, of some of the thousands of men, you know, sometimes thousands of men he had, for the maintenance of order. The main thing, keep order. An unusually large force for a province that had no serious external commitments and was bordered on the sides by other dependent kingdoms. But they worried about the Jews revolting, and Rome didn't want that. Now, could Rome have exterminated, if they had wanted to, could they have exterminated every Jew? Absolutely, a total control. and they could have brought in their armies and just killed, annihilated, you know, had a racial cleansing or whatever. But they didn't do it. Rome doesn't want that. Rome wanted peace. What they wanted from the Jews, taxes. They wanted from, you wanted you to work, be obedient to the government, pay your taxes. They had Jewish tax collectors that came around to the farmers and to this and evaluated. We know that Jesus ran into one. His name was Zacchaeus down in the area of Jericho there, coming off of Jericho. And Zacchaeus, he made a lot of money. He overcharged. They didn't know. They couldn't figure out how to pay their taxes. You owe this much. Well, he would send a certain amount to Rome. That's what they owed, but he'd keep the rest. And a lot of them did that. That's why some of the Jews hated the tax. They're one of the most hated groups of the time. And when Jesus talked to some of them, he found some of them really nice people, I guess. And they weren't all cheaters, but they were so hated that he was accused. You're talking with the sinners. People, you know, they're these people that you want to go with here. So there was no serious external commitments. Herodian, the kingdoms, they were dependent on these other Herod kingdoms, the tetrarchies. You know, Herod had, there was the Nabatean kingdom onto the east. The person at Syria was the supreme commander. Pilate was under him. He had to look for the commander in Syria, and he had absolute authority. Though Pilate had absolute authority in managing his own province, and he lived out at Caesarea. Caesarea is that place I visited there. I was there. It's beautiful. It's just right on the shores of the Mediterranean. The ocean comes up and splashes against some of the abutments there. And it's beautiful. That's where Paul was when he gave his defense. Paul said, I want to go to Rome. I said, okay, you want to go to Rome? To Rome you'll go, right from Caesarea. And so Pilate didn't stay in Jerusalem. He stayed in Caesarea, only came for the holy days. We don't have a lot of sources, and Pilate came into Jerusalem. He was there to deliberate the offense of some of them, and he came in and he had symbols on a lot of his swords and stuff, and his people wore some symbols which the Jews interpreted as pagan symbols and false gods. They didn't want it around there. They didn't want it around the holy place. And there was a huge uprising on that. Later sources may be exaggerated, but they say that he included imperial statues. Some people think that he put, they were later sources. Now, we don't know that they're really historical, but they think he put something in the Holy of Holies, in the holy place and all that. And of course, the Jews went crazy over that. And after a display of force, he was going to first, I'm going to put this out, we're going to wear, he yielded to the pressure of the popular demonstration, according to Josephus. Now, what he did not want, no ruler then wants, they did not want to be called into Rome. They don't want to, and he had been on two different other occasions. He was called into Rome about what was going on. They want to know what's going on. And what you don't want is to be a ruler over this area and have Rome think it's out of control. They put you in there to control it. They put you in there to make peace. They put you in there to keep things stable. And all of a sudden now things get out of hand and you don't know what to do. You're going to be called in and people riot. they didn't understand the Jewish religion. They didn't understand the sacredness of the temple. They didn't understand that Jews have only one God. Now, Pilate probably was, like many of the others, and Constantine was before his so-called conversion, a pagan. What's a pagan? A pagan is a person who worships many gods, but not the true God. To the Jews, there's only one God, right? The Old Testament talks about that. The Christians adopted the same thing. There's only one God, the true God. And we don't go and worship. We don't have, you know, the pagans, they had gods. What? They had the God of the river, the God of the sea, the God of the harvest, the God of the moon, the God of the sun, the God of the, you know, the fish, the God of the birds. They had all these various gods, female gods, male gods, this one and that one. And pagans just, you know, it's okay. Oh, we expected you to. What's your God's name? Well, oh, let's go over to your God's place. That's how they did. They did not have a set of beliefs like Christians do and Jews do. Didn't have any writings. So they were just pagans. And they got upset when Christians or Jews wouldn't come to their, you know, come to my party, we're going to worship so-and-so. No, pagans had no problem going to anybody's God. But those who worship the true God, the one God, the creator God, had many problems with that. Now, Pilate later tried to placate Jewish hostility. He said, well, let me see what I could do for them, make them think I'm a nice guy. I want to be a nice guy to them by organizing a water supply for Jerusalem. He was going to, okay, let's see if we can get better water into Jerusalem. But his attempt, however, to finance the project from the temple funds, he was going to go into the temple and take the funds that came to the temple. And that created a huge problem, violent demonstrations, mostly backed by the priests of the temple. You can't take this money. It's given to God. It's in God's temple. And he wanted to take it. Now, Pilate suppressed by police action this riot. He didn't like riots. He's going to stop you from rioting. And he did so by instructing his soldiers to take batons, not swords. Smack them on the head. Well, not every soldier listened. So there were quite a few casualties and many and several deaths. You know, they took swords, you know, I'm going to smack you in the head with a sword. That was it. So here's the question. When did this Galilean thing where he, you know, bloodied him, was that maybe this police action? We don't know. We don't know where that was and when it was. What we do know about Pilate is he could be a very tough. He had total authority. He could be a very tough and very dominant and dictator-like person. So here's the question. What did the Jews have on him that he would release an insurrectionist, a murderer, one who killed probably some of his soldiers, a robber who stole from other people? Now, in the 10th year of Pilate's office, he found it necessary to suppress also another armed concourse of fanatics who gathered in the territory of Samaria to excavate the holy vessels of Moses. They thought up in Mount Gerizim and everything, and they were going to try to excavate what they believed these vessels of Moses that were buried there in Mount Gerizim. So the mob was ambushed by, and many die. Pilate sent. They were going to do this job. He sent soldiers, ambush them. Many of the survivors then, after they got away originally, were captured and executed. The city council of Samaria protested. They protested this action. to the governor of Syria. And so this was now when? In the 10th year of Pilate, so about 38 AD, this is following Jesus' death. They protested to the governor of Syria, who sent Pilate back to Rome. Okay, he had to face an investigation by the emperor of Rome. You'll see that in the Jewish Antiquities by Josephus. Josephus's attitude was toward Pilate was unfavorable, but unlike Philo, he didn't accuse Pilate of every wrong, every vice. Josephus was not violently hostile to Pilate. He found only a simple, disastrous action to impute to Pilate in 10 years of Pilate's, only this disastrous action in 10 years of Pilate's reign. It was Pilate's duty to maintain order over a surly, subjective people. And they were often unruly because their land had been annexed rather than conquered. Pompey in 63 BC had besieged Jerusalem, captured only the temple precinct at Jerusalem. There had been no general resistance later, but only local and dynastic rebellions. The Jews, their explicit threat against Pilate could be said like this. Now, what did they have? What did they threaten him? Here's what they said when Jesus was coming up to trial. If you release, this is in John chapter 19, verse 12. If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. That's from the New American Standard Version, John 19, verse 12. These were hints at an investigation on a charge of the neglect of the security of the state. You're neglecting. If he says he's king of the Jews, if you don't put this man, if you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar's. Oh, that would scare Pilate. Now, that's one of the things they might have had over him. We don't want a rebellion. And they're going to accuse me of saying, I won't put to death the king of the Jews. This guy calling him a king. He comes in like a king. He rides on the donkey and he comes into Jerusalem. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to go back there called in front of the emperor and have him once again, start on me and start bringing me up to charges. So I have to defend myself. I don't want to go there. Besides, it's a huge trip, from Jerusalem or from Caesarea over to Rome. That's, all across the Mediterranean and then back into Rome. It's not an easy trip, as Paul found out too on his way. So such investigations were often frequent in Rome. People were called in. You were supposed to be over this part. You were supposed to be taking care of this area, and you didn't do it. So now Pilate escaped one at the trial of Jesus. The people were threatening him. If you release this man they called Jesus, Yeshua, if you release this man, you are no friend to Caesar. And there was a subtle threat that they would complain that he's not taking care of Rome. Okay. So Pilate escaped that one at the trial of Jesus by putting Jesus to death. But later action caused him to be sent to Rome for imperial investigation. Later on, he was, because of that action we talked about later in his 10th year. So the Jews had a threat against him. They were going to riot. They were going to call Rome to say that things are out of control. He's not going to kill the king of the Jews. Now, the Gospels tend to favor Pilate and blame Jewish leaders a little bit. And that's the tendency you see here. Now, to be fair, both were reasonable. I mean, Pilate, but both were responsible. To be fair, Pilate was responsible for Jesus' death. He could have released him. He didn't do it. He didn't have the guts. The Jewish leaders were responsible. They kept pushing him. Look at what it says here in, and to make sense of Jesus' death, you had statements like this, and this is one from the book of Acts, chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. The God of Abraham, now this is, I believe, Peter's speech, okay? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, that's the only God we worship, you see, that's the one. The God of our fathers has glorified his servant, Jesus, his slave, Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. Now, Peter's talking to them. And you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. So Pilate wanted to, so you see here in the book of Acts, the history was, hey, Pilate didn't have any charge against him. I'm going to let him go. But you disowned the holy and righteous one, and you asked for a murderer to be released to you. They don't name the murderer's name here. You asked a murderer to be released. You killed the author of life. That's all from Acts chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 from the New International Translation. You can read it in other translations. So let's take a look. We're starting in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, beginning in verse 15. Matthew 27, verse 15. Now at the feast, this is now the feast of Passover. Passover this year will be in 2024. Passover will be, I believe, April the 22nd through the 29th. And on the 21st, the Sunday night before that day, that's the Lord's Supper night. I believe those are the right dates. So if I'm gone, Gary Wallet will correct it. All right, Matthew 27 and verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. Who's they? It's supposed to be to the people, to the governor, but it actually becomes to the authorities. You know, they have the power to persuade the masses, and it's the authorities who decide. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Notorious, Matthew says. He was well known. He'd been probably in jail. He'd been convicted. Now, the question is, how was it? What happened that this guy, who was notorious and an insurrectionist, we see in the other Gospels, how did he not get killed? How did he not? Well, he was up for execution, though. Yeah, that's right. He was captured. He's up for being crucified. Okay? So when the people gathered together, this is Matthew chapter 27, now dropping down to verse 17. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you?" Trying to be, he probably thought it was a slam dunk. Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ, called Messiah, the anointed one. His disciples call him the anointed one. He's called the anointed one. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, for he knew, why did he say that? He knew it was out of envy they had handed Jesus over. Jesus was not a bad guy. He healed people. He did this. He brought things up about the things. He kind of stormed at the temple at one point and became very, sort of looked like he was violent. He overturned the tables and so on. But he wasn't a bad guy. He was nice to people, kind to people, nice to the to the tax collectors for Rome. You would have thought that would have made a difference. No. So verse 18, for he knew it was because of envy they had handed him, meaning Jesus, over. Now, verse 18, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, have nothing to do with this righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. So I just want to let you know, this is Matthew's gospel now. Verse 20. But the chief priests, the elders, persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and persuaded them to say, put Jesus to death. Ask for a release of Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the chief priests and the elders, persuaded them. Verse 21, but the governor said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one? They all said, one giant voice, crucify him. And then Pilate said, well, what? Tell me something really bad. What evil has he done? I mean, yes, granted, the guy may be a little dingy up here. Maybe he's a little crazy. Maybe, he doesn't defend himself. He sits there. He won't talk. And he won't say anything in his own defense. And, I don't know. He says he's king. I don't know. What shall I do with Jesus? They all said, crucify him. What evil has he done? But they did not want to get into a specific evidence. So they just, how do you deal with people? If you just want your way, and you're not willing to talk logically, you just keep screaming the same thing. Crucify him, crucify him. Well, what evil is that? Crucify him, crucify him. You can't deal with these people, okay? So when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, I can't get them to reason with me, but rather that a riot was starting. Oh, now we see what he did. They were going to intimidate Pilate, even though he's an absolute ruler. He could have just killed them all if he wanted, but he didn't want that. He just doesn't want uprisings there. He doesn't want to go back to Rome. So, but rather that the riot was starting, he took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people said, his blood shall be upon us and our children. Then he released Barabbas for them. He had the power. He could have said no. They could have rioted, but he caved. He caved to them. He released Barabbas to them, but after having Jesus scourged, he beat him up bad. Now, in the book of John, we see he beat him up and he says, well, look at this. Look at the guy now. Before I knew what should you want, he handed him over to be crucified. The order is crucify him. That's it. So I wash my hands of it. Not my fault. You guys wanted it. You get it. So they stripped him. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort there with him. Okay. He gathered the cohort, which is a certain number of soldiers, okay, around him. And they stripped him. They put a scar. They just thought this guy's a crazy guy. And you know how cruel soldiers can be. They're used to being, killing people, smacking people. So they started beating him up. Okay. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. I don't know about you. I don't like thorns. I fell one time when I was a kid. These people had cut their thorn bushes and they fell on the other side. And I jumped over their fence because I was trying to take a shortcut home. And I fell right in these thorns. And man, I had right in my hands and my arms, oh, wow, I was in terrible pain. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe, twisting a crown of thorns. They put it on his head and a reed in his hand. Okay, you're the king. You're the king. Okay. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Pretending they're giving him this like Heil Hitler, but "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him. They took a reed, began to beat him on the head. "Yeah, you're the king. Yeah, let's think of what kind of king you are. We give you a couple of smacks across the head." After they mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put on his own garments back on him and led him away to be crucified. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into the service. "Get over here. Where are you from? You know, help this guy with his..." He fell. He's carrying his parabellum. "You help him, as he'd been beaten. He'd been scourged." And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, and people have searched. Is it here? Some people think it means the place of the skull. Dr. Ernest Martin and Dr. Jim Tabor think that the place he was crucified was on Mount of Olives, top of the Mount of Olives, called the place of the skull. People tried to find a place that had like holes in it that you might say looks like a skull, but it just meant a top of a place, at the top of a place of like the place of the skull at that time, Golgotha. They gave him wine mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots. That's a story that's in generally all four Gospels. This is the essence. What did Paul say? That Jesus was first crucified, buried, and resurrected. The essence of really the gospel, the heart of Christianity. The heart of Christianity is the fact that he was resurrected, but that you can't, it's not, it wouldn't be much of a resurrection if he wasn't dead. You know, they crucified him. So now in Mark's gospel, we read this. This is Mark chapter 15 in Mark. Early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes and the whole council immediately held a consultation. So now they were all, what are we going to do? And binding Jesus. Now, this is while he's still arrested under the chief priests. They went down to the Garden of Gethsemane and took him. And while he's under their control, they decided, what do we do? And binding Jesus, they decided they're going to take him, deliver him to Pilate. This is Mark now, chapter 15, verse 2. Pilate questioned him. Now he's questioning Jesus. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "It is as you say." Whatever you say, whatever you want to say. Pilate then answered him. The chief priest then began to accuse him very harshly. "He said he's doing this. He said he, you got," they wanted to make it a death penalty. Pilate questioned him again, saying, "Are you not going to answer me? Look how many people are charging you, what they're charging you against, what they're bringing charges against you." But Jesus made no further answer. So Pilate here in the book of Mark's gospel, looking at it, was amazed. Didn't you not answer one thing in your own behalf? You could have said, "Yeah, well, they've been jealous of me. You can go back to when I taught here, when I taught there, and they're so jealous. Ask people around here," and so on. But Jesus made no defense. Now at the feast, this is here we come down to verse 6 of Mark 15. At the feast, he, meaning Pilate, used to release to them, for them, any one prisoner whom they requested. Any one. Now, I got all these prisoners. Now, that's kind of unusual. A guy who's such a powerhouse like Pilate. What they had, he must have been intimidated. He's going to continue this, try to make a favor. I'm not going to kill everybody. You want somebody out? I'm going to leave it up to you people who I release. Okay. So the man named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the insurrectionists. Now, he joined a bunch of people trying to overthrow the Roman government. They're going to try to get Rome out of Jerusalem, try to drive them out. They evidently killed a couple of soldiers or one or two or whatever, and they committed murder during this insurrection. The crowd went up and began asking him, Pilate, to do as he had been accustomed to do for them. Pilate answered, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" He didn't even care what Jesus' name was. He didn't even know. He just knew they gave him the title. You're telling me he's the king of the Jews. You want me to release this guy? Because Pilate thought, this guy's no threat. No threat to us whatsoever. So, okay, what do you want me to release this guy? I'll release him for you. So here he is. And what do they say? For he was aware that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. You want me to release? But the chief priests stirred up the crowd and asked him to release Barabbas for them instead. Now, Barabbas, there's one thing about criminals. They seem to get, people, they're tough guys. You'd be surprised how many women write criminals in, and then when this guy committed murder and they start writing him in prison, they like this. They want to have pen pals with murderers. If you're a nice guy, you're in prison, you don't get anybody to write you that much. But here, this guy, and they wanted him. He's like a hero. He's fought for the country. He's a great guy. The fact that he robbed people there didn't matter. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd. This is verse 11, Mark 15. Verse 11, they stirred up the crowd to ask for the release of Barabbas for them instead. Answering again, once again, Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with him whom you call king of the Jews?" You want me to release this guy? Well, what am I going to do with the king of the Jews? I mean, Pilate never even dawned on him that they would think crucify him because he didn't do anything. And then, okay, you want this big hero, since the king of the Jews, quote, king of the Jews, didn't do anything. But they came back. They shouted back, "Crucify him." And Pilate once again said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? What evil? Tell me something he's done that deserves that." But they shouted at all the more, "Crucify him." Now you got a crowd out of control. The mob, it's mob violence. It's mob rule. It's mob. Now they've been incited, granted, but people often don't think. And a lot of people, you want to get in a mob. And there's something about a mob that can be contagious, by the way. It's contagious. You're doing it. Everybody's doing it. Next thing you know, you pick up the emotions from all these other people, their anger. It takes a very strong mind. You have to have your own strong mind not to get swept into crowd rule, okay? Because everybody wants to go along with the crowd. You've heard of that phrase, "Let's go along with the crowd." Crowd's going here. Let's go along with the crowd. And many times it's to your own disaster and hurt. So here are Pilate. "What evil has he done?" They shouted all the more, "Crucify him," and wishing to satisfy the crowd. What do politicians do? What's the point of a politician? I want to please the majority. I want to satisfy. What do you want me to do? Who wants to be on my side? I'll get more votes now in democratic countries. If I satisfy the crowd, I get more votes. If I do more favors, if I pass out benefits, if I forgive loans, if I do this, if I give you just hand out money to you, just here's some money. What people don't know is that you hand the money out and it's chasing all the goods, and that's why the prices go up, and prices have gone up. So here we are. Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and you know, in favor for them, and having Jesus scourged. Scourged. Now, scourging is enough to kill a person, a weak person. If they were to scourge a woman, she may weigh 115 pounds, and scourge a woman, she'd die. She'd probably die. Probably tear her backbone apart. You know, men could probably took it because we have a little bit more muscle and so on. But I mean, you'd be lacerated so badly and bleeding so much, it's going to tear your flesh away from your bones and so on. And you got open sores and raw meats sitting out there. It is an awful, awful thing to go through. And having Jesus scourged first, he, Pilate, didn't say the Jews did it, he handed him over. Okay. He scourged him first, take him and crucify him. He handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers once again took him away. Now he's under the control of these soldiers into the palace that is called the Praetorium, and they called together the whole Roman cohort, all these soldiers. Look at this guy, he's crazy, he doesn't sense, and look at him. They dressed him up in purple. Now, the other one said scarlet. You notice Matthew said scarlet. Is it scarlet? Is it purple? Doesn't matter. You know, I don't take umbrage, I don't take upset with these different accounts, because As the guy who wrote the book Cold Case Christianity explains, he's a detective cop. He said, if I got the same witness for everything in every detail, I think they all colluded. But here he writes, they dressed him in purple. Now, was he given purple or scarlet? Was he a combination of purple and scarlet? Somebody saw it was scarlet. Somebody thought it was purple. Was there two robes they gave him? There are all kinds of ways to try to explain it. But to just read it, they dressed him up in scarlet. And after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to acclaim him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then, of course, they kept beating him on the head with a reed, spitting on him, kneeling and bowing before him. They bow, we get up, spit on him, whack him with a reed. What could he do? After they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off him, put on his own garments on him, and they led him away to crucify him. And again, the account is they pressed into service a passerby coming from the country. He's a country bumpkin. And he came to Jerusalem as the feast demand. It was one of the pilgrim feasts, come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. He's coming. He sees this whole world. It's just going, it's crazy. The riots and people and the talk about this guy, this man, you know. His name was Simon of Cyrene. He was the father of Alexander and Rufus, whom Paul addresses in the book of Romans, who became followers of Jesus Christ. They pressed this man into service to bear his Jesus cross. Now, I've checked in history books a little bit. I've looked at what historians say. I don't find any Barabbas that they mention outside. I don't think even Josephus mentions Barabbas. I don't know where they got this man, but the Gospels are sure of it, and I am sure that it's a fact. What did he do, and where did he come from, and why did the Gospels so much, every single one of them, mention his name? Everyone. Why? We'll talk more about that in our next sermon. Don't miss it. Would you join me in prayer as we end our services today? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the love that you've shown us. Behold the Father's love. You're so great a love for us that you sacrificed your own Son. We know, all of us who are parents, we pray for our children like the Hewletts are praying for their grandson. We pray for our son like the Phelps are praying for their son. We pray for each other. We miss our sons, as both Elizabeth Landing and Faye Wanlon have missed their sons who died. We know how much a son means to us, or our daughter, a son, a child. To sacrifice that, we know what it takes. And Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for him who was willing to do it. He allowed himself, he willingly, he said, I lay down my life of my own accord. No one takes it from me. So we know he sacrificed for us. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the thanks, because without him, we would have been lost and our sins have been washed away. We come to you clean through Jesus Christ's blood, and we appreciate every moment of this wonderful life of being your servants, your slaves, through Jesus our Lord, who was your ultimate slave. In his name we pray. Amen.